Let's pray. Father, we do ask that you would speak your word, that we would hear your word, that it would change us, and that it would bear fruit in our lives to your honor and glory. And we pray this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? And as you're getting seated, would you turn to Ezekiel 37, which was already read today? We're going to start there. Ezekiel 37. So last week I shared the experience of a personal friend of mine who prayed for a man that had been born blind and saw God heal him. He gained his sight right there on the spot. True story, I know people involved. I will admit that I do not, however, have an experience myself, nor do I know anyone who has, of praying for a dead person and seeing him rise from the dead. Death is pretty final, but as we'll see, maybe not quite as final as we think. So this morning, using the image that we see in Ezekiel 37, using that picture, the vision of the dead and dry bones, I want us to think together about what I'm going to call three sets of dry bones that we see in our readings or pointed at in our readings. Three sets of dry bones that God breathes into and brings to life. We're going to look at Ezekiel 37 and John 11, three dry bones that through the power of God live. So first, Israel's dry bones live. Ezekiel has a vision from God. This is not literal, this is a vision from God. And in it, he's taken into a large plain or a large valley, and he's put in the middle of it, and he notices that as he's walking around, he's essentially walking in a cemetery, but not buried bones, but millions of bones lying on the ground everywhere he looks. And he walks around in and among the bones, and he sees that they are hopelessly dry. They've been dead for a while. And God tells Ezekiel to speak God's word to them, and then through the power of God, they come together in this vision, and they come together, and bodies form, and God breathes into them, and they stand up alive, an exceedingly great army. Now, occasionally in the Bible, we have this very helpful thing that God does, is after he tells us something, he then interprets it for us, lest we miss it. And so, verse 11, God explains it. God tells us what the vision is about. Verse 11, "Then God said to me, 'These bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off.'" That's what God's people feel like in their current situation. Dead bones piled up with no hope. The Israelites at this time are in exile under a foreign power. And the dry and lifeless bones strewn across the valley is a graphic depiction of their state as exiles. Dried up, dead, they feel forgotten and abandoned, spread out with no hope. People of Israel are alive physically, but they're saying that their situation is completely without hope. Like a valley filled with dead and dry and bleached bones. They're dried up. There's no way that they can get through the mess that they're in. Can these bones live? God asks, speaking about Israel in exile. Can God's people be restored from this utter devastation in a foreign land? I don't know, God, but you do, Ezekiel replies. I don't know, God. The situation looks completely hopeless. I don't know if they can live. It sure looks hopeless to me. I have no idea if they can, but it doesn't look good. And then in the vision, God steps in. God breathes life into this hopeless nation, into their miserable situation. God restores his people. And the bones begin to come together and form skeletons and bodies, and he breathes life into them, and they become an exceedingly great army. Dead as dead can be. And God saves and gives life to his people Israel. He brings them out of exile and restores them. And historically, he does intervene on his people's behalf. He does free them from this exile and brings them back into the promised land. He establishes them again in their own country. A historical situation of exile and pain and death is restored by God's power, and his people are freed and returned to their land. By the power of God, Israel's dry bones live. And that historical situation of God saving his people from exile, and that graphic image of dead and dry bones being brought to life, that then points us to our second set of dry bones. Ours. Our dry bones live. Now you got to go with me in order to get there. John 11. You can flip over. John 11, read earlier. Jesus' friend Lazarus dies. Not in a vision, but physically dies. Not sleeping, not sick, dead and buried for 4 days. And Jesus arrives late to the party. And Martha and Mary, the dead man's sisters, and mourners have gathered around. They all believe that Jesus could have prevented the death of Lazarus had he showed up on time. If you hadn't been late, this wouldn't have happened. And Martha expresses genuine faith in Jesus in verse 21. This is real faith she's expressing. She says, "Lord, if you had not been here, my brother would not have died. You could have fixed this." I mean, she knows Jesus and believes that he could have saved her brother. Mary says the exact same thing in verse 32. Some of the crowd in verse 37, they also say, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man," that's what we saw last week, "could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" I mean, they all believed, they all knew that Jesus could have prevented Lazarus' death. But they had no grid at all for the idea that he could raise the dead. Dead is dead. But verse 38, Jesus goes to the tomb. And he asks that the stone covering be rolled away, moved away from the mouth of the tomb. And Martha, knowing perfectly well what happens to dead bodies in the sweltering heat of Israel, says, "It's going to smell." Or as the King James Version says it so amazingly well, John 11, 39, "Lord, he stinketh." Yes, Martha, he stinketh. But stinketh or not, Jesus calls out to the dead body and everything changes. Verse 43, Jesus cries out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And as has been pointed out by others, if Jesus had not prefaced his command, "Come out," with the name of Lazarus, every grave in Israel would have been emptied. Lazarus, come out. And then stumbling out into the sun, still wrapped in his burial clothes, comes Lazarus, alive, raised from the dead. Death could not hold on to him when Jesus called. And death cannot hold on to you when Jesus calls. When Jesus calls you, when he opens your eyes and your heart to his love and grace, when Jesus calls you and you receive him and what he has done for you on the cross, when Jesus calls you and you hear him, even death cannot hold on to you. In Christ, death is dead, and you are alive. In Jesus, when we receive him in faith, our dry bones live. Death and sin cannot hold on to us anymore. We're released from what bound us, and we are free in Christ. Through the power of God, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, through the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, as Philippians 3 tells us, we are brought from death to life, and our dry bones live through Jesus. Lazarus is a foretaste, an arrow pointing toward the ultimate resurrection that all who are in Jesus will one day experience. Death and hopelessness are done away with and cast aside like those unnecessary grave clothes. In Jesus, our dry bones live. Through the power of God, in his people in the Old Testament Israel, were brought back from hopelessness and exile. And through that same power, we are brought from death to life. Spiritually saved and alive in Jesus, and one day we will be resurrected to eternal life with him. Israel's dry bones live, and in Christ, our dry bones live. And lastly, one final set of dry bones, saving the best for last. This is what all of this points to. Jesus' dry bones live. It's important for us to remember that ultimately the focus of the Bible is not Israel. It's definitely not us. But the central focus of Scripture is always on God and his work for us in Jesus. The valley of dry bones, the resurrection of Lazarus, prepare us for and point us toward the cross and resurrection of Jesus, where we see Jesus' dry bones live. God comes to us in Jesus, he becomes one of us, and then dies our death for us. Jesus quite literally joins the dead and dry bones in his death. On the cross, Jesus takes the sin of his people upon himself and dies the death that we deserve. The God-man, God incarnate, Jesus Christ, takes the sin of the world upon himself and is himself cut off, spiritually dead on our behalf in his physical death. The valley is full of dead bones, and Jesus takes that death and dryness upon himself, and he dies our death for us, and he defeats death itself. He defeats death through his own death. Death itself is defeated in the death of the Son of God. Jesus dies and was, in a sense, laid among the dry bones in the valley. Jesus, God himself, became a pile of dead bones for us. There was no life left in them. The Romans who crucified Jesus knew quite well how to kill people and make sure they were really dead. And Jesus suffered that death and was laid in that tomb as a pile of dead bones that would dry out like any other set of dead bones. But Jesus simply refused to stay dead. Did you ever play the silly game Cops and Robbers as a kid? It's actually a really frustrating game. You run around with your friends and you shoot each other with your little toy, your finger pistols, and they fall down, and what happens? They get right back up and you got to do it again. That's kind of what Jesus does, except not with children playing a silly game, but to death and to Satan himself. Jesus just simply would not stay dead. And Jesus dies and is laid to rest among the dry bones, but he is raised to new life and new creation as the first of what will happen to all of us who trust in him. His dry bones live. And both of these passages tell us that God raises these dry bones in the valley in the vision, Lazarus bodily in physical history, and Jesus himself. He does this so that we can know who God truly is. Ezekiel 37 verse 13 says, "And you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it." John 11:40, with Lazarus, Jesus says, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Knowing the Lord, seeing his glory. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life," and he doesn't just say it, he does it. He raises Lazarus. God reveals himself to us so that we may know him. And ultimately, Jesus rising from the dead, his dry bones live so that we can be saved and know God forever. Jesus lives that we may be saved from sin and death and that we may know and love and worship God forever. So in these readings, we see dead as dead can be. Dry, dusty, sun-bleached bones strewn around. Lazarus' dead body in the tomb, long enough to stinketh. Our souls and bodies in ourselves dead without hope, but through the power of God and the death and resurrection of Jesus, joining us in our deadness, God defeats even death itself for us. In Jesus, resurrection life triumphs over death and hopelessness every time. So, dead as dead can be is not truly hopeless in Jesus. In Jesus, we are never too far gone, nor are we left to rot. In our Lord, death gives way to life, and darkness gives way to light in the presence of God, and despair gives way to deep and abiding knowledge of our Lord. Our bones can live because his bones live. Through the resurrection of Jesus, hope is kindled. Hope put in the right place, and we can know the end of the story while we're still living it, that he will raise us up, we who trust in him, and we will see his glory face to face. So renew your faith in Jesus, he who became a pile of dry bones for you, who died for you, but who would not and could not stay dead. Whose power to raise the dead was seen in Israel, was seen in Lazarus, is seen in us. Jesus Christ, who died and rose again. Ezekiel 37, God says, "And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it." So may you know him and know his resurrection power today. Amen.